The reading for today is not particularly familiar. So the temptation is to go back up to the familiar first words of the psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? The words are familiar, but perhaps you did not know they were from the Psalms. According to the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, Jesus spoke these words from the cross. We learn from Jesus that it is okay to express our frustration with God. We learn that there are times when it does not seem like God is present with us. We learn that even Jesus, when at his most human, felt alone and forsaken. These seem to be particularly appropriate lessons for this time in Lent, when we would expect our lesson to focus on the dismal theme of forgiveness or forsakenness. In this time, when our bellies may be gnawing at us with hunger for the things we've given up for Lent, we might expect to hear words from Scripture echoed at the crucifixion. But our lesson today skips to the end of the second half of the psalm. And today we focus on verse 27, which says, "The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever." Why, during this season of Lent, when the days lengthen, when we solemnly consider the cross, and it seems the 40 days will never end, is it appropriate to consider satisfaction? It is in just such a time as this that we should consider what it takes to satisfy ourselves. It is in times of deprivation and want when our focus most naturally turns toward what it will take to satisfy our wants. Rock poets Mick Jagger and Keith Richards put it this way: "I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. When I'm driving in my car and the man comes on the radio, he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination. I can't get no. Oh, no, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. When I'm watching my TV and a man comes on and tells me how white my shirts can be, but he can't be a man because he don't smoke the same cigarettes as me. I can't get no. Oh, no, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. I can't get no satisfaction." Richards and Jagger make a good point. Our advertising is designed to create expectation. Expectations in us that make us want what they are selling, whether it's a cigarette or a white shirt or a fast car. Our imaginations are fueled to think how we can be happier if we can just acquire what it is that's advertised. The advertisements are designed to fuel expectations. We expect more and more. Christian writer Anne Lamott observes that expectations are resentments waiting to happen. End quote. The Rolling Stones and Anne Lamott are observing the same problem. When we focus on wanting more and more things, When we raise our expectations, we are harder and harder to satisfy. We distance ourselves from the God who gives us what we need. We distance ourselves from God who knows what true satisfaction entails. In times when we deprive ourselves and focus on God, we can learn that the things we give up are not the true source of our happiness. Chocolate is nice, but it is not the source of true satisfaction. Television is entertaining, but it's not the source of ultimate meaning. Whatever it is we give up, it is not the source of ultimate satisfaction. One way we realize what true satisfaction is by focusing on God and not on things. Our Ash Wednesday decisions to give up something for Lent are not New Year's resolutions, but a focus on God. During this time of Lent, it is a special time to focus on God and not things. But we should do it throughout the year as well. We focus on God and not what we don't have when we count our blessings, when we take note of the things we are grateful for, awareness of the things we lack fades away. We also focus on God and not things when we pray as Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. Jesus brought our focus to our immediate needs. The prayer is not for our weekly bread or our monthly bread, but for our daily bread. Jesus' teaching reminds us of God's provision for the children of Israel in the wilderness during the Exodus from Egypt. Manna was provided on a daily basis, and the children of Israel were prohibited from storing the manna. If they disobeyed, the manna spoiled and was inedible. Author Faith Baldwin says it this way: praying, we usually ask too much. I know I do. Sometimes we even demand. I think I'm learning to ask enough for the moment, not for the whole year, utterly veiled in mystery, not even for the week, the month ahead, but just for today. Jesus said it all when he told us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That bread is not only material, it's spiritual. In asking for it, we ask for a sufficiency of strength, courage, hope, and light. Enough courage for the step ahead, not for the further miles. Enough strength for the immediate task or ordeal. Enough material gain to enable us to meet our daily obligations. Enough light to see the path right before our feet. End quote. There's a real danger in trying to measure satisfaction by amount. There is no amount that will satisfy. Jesus was making this point when Satan tempted him, and he responded, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus was quoting the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses is telling the children of Israel the commandments of God. Moses says it this way: "He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. End quote. Likewise, we learn to focus on the Word of God when we recognize that we allow ourselves to hunger and see what true satisfaction and see that true satisfaction does not require things. Satisfaction comes from recognizing that God provides enough. And God has created us to be enough. God has provided sufficiently. Author Brené Brown puts it this way. Sufficiency isn't two steps up from poverty or one step short of abundance. It isn't a measure of barely enough or more than enough. Sufficiency isn't an amount at all. It's an experience, a context we generate, a declaration, a knowing that there is enough and that we are enough. End quote. Stoic philosopher Seneca lived from 4 BC until 65 AD, during the time of Christ in the early church. He was popular among church fathers and is often quoted by writers such as Augustine and John Calvin. On being satisfied, Seneca said this, quote, "True happiness is to enjoy the present without anxious dependence upon the future, not to amuse ourselves with either hopes or fears, but to rest satisfied with what we have, which is sufficient. For he that is so wants nothing. The greatest blessings of mankind are within us and within our reach. A wise man is content with his lot, whether it may be without wish, whatever it may be, without wishing for what he has not." End quote. I'm reminded of the person who went to a wise seer. And he said, "Oh, seer, I need a larger house." The seer said, "I can help you. Do you have a goat?" The seeker said, "Yes." So the seer said to move the goat into the kitchen. The next day, the seer said, "Do you have a cow?" The seeker said, "Yes." And the seer said to move the cow into the house. The next day, the seer said, "Do you have a pig?" The seeker said, "Yes." So the seer said to move the pig into the house. On the fourth day, the seer said, "Do you have any chickens?" The seeker said, "Yes." So the seer said to move the chickens into the house. On the last day, the seeker said, "I have no more animals." So the seer said, "You can return them to your yard." Later that day, the seer visited the seeker, who told him, "I can't believe how big my house is today." Being satisfied is not a matter of how much we have, but a matter of our focus on our God, who provides our daily bread. As the psalmist says, "The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord." Note, the psalmist does not say the poor shall become rich. The psalmist says the poor shall be satisfied and shall praise the Lord. May each of us turn our focus on our Lord, be satisfied, and praise the Lord. Amen. Having heard